Like to open it up to First Peter. That is where we are at tonight. And as I've been saying, and we'll keep saying, we're going to be there most of this year. First Peter chapter 1. And we are going to look today at verses 3 through 5. But just to kind of to catch us up real quick, especially if you're tuning in, if you weren't here last week or just kind of checking us out. What we looked at last week was verses 3 through 5, but we looked specifically at verse 4. That says that God, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we saw that it was God, according to his mercy, that God caused us to be born again, that he caused us to be born again to two things that Peter writes about. And he says those things were a living hope, not a dead hope, and to an inheritance, and that inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's kept in heaven for us. And that those two things are secured by and rooted in and made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior and not a dead Savior. If we have a dead Savior, we have a dead God and our hope is dead. If we have a dead Savior and a dead God, then he cannot be guarding the inheritance that is in heaven for us, right? If we have a dead God, he has no power to be guarding anything for us because he's dead and he's not alive. And therefore, death would have power over God if he did not raise Jesus from the dead. So we have to have a risen Savior in order to have a living faith and a living hope and for him to be guarding this inheritance that is for us in heaven. So we saw in that that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is not an unimportant side note of the Christian faith. It's not something that's just kind of there, that's not that important. There's other things that are more important. That's not the case. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely central and foundational and of supreme importance. It's so important that if Jesus is not risen from the dead, we saw last week, then everything in the Christian faith is a lie. We should burn our Bibles and we should go find something else to do on Sundays, because I promise you there's a golf game I could be watching. There's a baseball game or something I could be watching on TV if Jesus is not risen from the dead. Like, that's how important the resurrection of Jesus is. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, he himself is a liar. All the apostles are liars, and all those who said, hey, we saw him raised from the dead are liars. And the whole New Testament is one big lie if Jesus is not risen from the dead. And we saw even from 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. It's like, it's that important. It's not something that's just insignificant. Insignificant is massively important. So our being born again that Peter has written about, our eternal destiny in heaven, our hope in life right now, and the whole truthfulness of our faith hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of that resurrection, we have a living hope for this life right now. We have an incredible, unimaginable, and absolutely secure inheritance that is in heaven for us. And that's what we saw last week. And that's really, really, really good news. And that's what Peter is writing about. Remember, he's writing to build hope into his believers who are struggling and suffering and enduring through difficult days. And he's pointing them to God and who he is and what he's done for them, and what they have in him. And he's writing over and over and over, this is who you are. This is who God is. This is what he's done for you. And he's trying to build this into them to help them endure through the difficult days. So now today, that gets us to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be back in verse 3 through 5 again. Let's read it. And today we're going to look specifically at verse 5. So 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. You can look at it in your Bible or the words are going to be on the screen. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So what we're going to do is we're going to focus on verse 5, that last part of verse 5 that says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's going to be our focus for today. Remember, I already said this, but just as we get into this, Peter's writing to people who are Christians who are going through or will go through intense difficulty, sufferings, and persecutions because of their faith in Jesus. And his goal is to help them endure. His goal is to help them press on, to not give up, to keep going in the midst of the difficulties that they are going through. And so he says to them, on top of everything that he's already said, all this salvation that God has done, how he achieved it in Jesus, he's saying there is coming for you, Christians, a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And so what we're going to do first is we're going to focus on that last phrase, that salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Then we're going to go back and look at the other two phrases from verse 5. This is why it's going to take us all year, because we can only go a verse at a time. Like, I promise I try to go faster, but I can't. It's just the way that I have to do this because I'm a little bit slow. So we're going to look at that phrase from verse 5, the very last phrase, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So as we read that, a salvation ready to be revealed when? In the last time. What that makes me ask when I see that is, well, wait a minute. I thought I was already saved. Like Peter's just said, there's a salvation coming in the last time. I thought I was already saved. So which one is it? Am I already saved, or am I going to be saved at some point in the future, in the end of time? And the answer is both. Both of those are true. We are saved right now, and we will be saved later. And I want to explain the difference, and then I want to show you which one I think Peter is writing about here, and it's pretty obvious from the text. So we are already saved right now. We will be saved in the future. So when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, we receive it by faith. Romans 3:28 says we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that gospel, we hear that message from someone, we have faith in that moment, and we are saved. We are saved then. Now, Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. Do you see that? By grace you have been saved. It's not something he's writing about in the future. He's saying you've been saved by grace through faith right now. So Romans 3, 28 and Ephesians 2, 8 both show us that we are already saved. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved. And so many other verses in the Bible talk about that we are saved right now. So what are we saved from right now? What do we get already right now? We get our sins forgiven here and now, right now, past, present, future. Our sins are forgiven right now. We are adopted into God's family. We are given a new family on earth among God's people here and now. We are given the Holy Spirit of God to live in us here and now and to be with us here and now. We receive peace and living hope that we looked at last week, and joy, all the fruit of the Spirit here and now, and all of that, and just so much more that we could spend a long time talking about. We get right now, and we're saved from God's wrath right now, and we're saved into and get all of those things right now. But that's not what Peter's talking about. Okay, we're saved in that sense already right now. But there is a sense in which Peter is writing here. He says, for a salvation ready to be revealed when? In the last time. So what does that mean? If we're already saved from all of that stuff right now, what does he mean that there's a salvation coming in the last time? Let's look and see what I think he means. I think he says here, and what he means is, there's a salvation that has yet to happen. It is yet to be realized for us, and it is yet to be received by us. It is a salvation that will come at some point in the future, a salvation, Peter says, ready to be revealed when? In the last time. So then, what is this salvation that is coming that we haven't received yet? This salvation that is coming down the road that will be revealed in the last time. It is eternal life with God in heaven forever. And that is a reality that is those that who are God's people, who've been saved by his grace, who have faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a hope and a salvation coming that when this life is over, either by death at some point, our death at some point, or by the return of Jesus Christ, that we will see Jesus face to face. We will be with him forever, experiencing eternal salvation of our souls forever. That's the salvation that Peter is writing about here in verse 5 at the end when he says, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It hasn't happened yet. We're not already in heaven. If you think this is heaven, I'm really sorry. Like I'm hoping that it gets better than this at some point in the future. Like, if we hope that this is like as good as it gets and this is somehow heaven right now, I'm really not loving this right now. Sometimes this is not as good as it gets. There is a reality of heaven that is coming down the road face to face. We will experience it forever one day. Now, the reality right now, like this is the reality that we live in right now, is whether you realize it or not, or have experienced this or not, is that we are still living right now in bodies that are not getting better. Our bodies are going downhill. They're getting older. They're wearing out. Stuff doesn't work like it used to. My eyes and ears are getting worse, not better, along with the rest of my body. That doesn't sound like really good news, but you and me will one day, if the Lord doesn't come back before then, we will get cancer, we'll have a stroke, we'll have a heart attack or a car wreck, or in some other way, potentially painful for a long time, or possibly in the blink of an eye, we will die in this body, right? You didn't want to come up here hearing that tonight. Did you want me to tell you something positive and encouraging that you might hear on K-Love? You didn't want to hear all this, right? But this is life, right? This is life. That this body is going to wear out and decay if it hasn't already, and it's going to get worse, and we're going to get something, and we are going to die. However, for those who are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we have, what did Peter say? A living hope. We have a living hope that this life is not the end for us, that the end of this life is really just the beginning for us, because as Peter writes here, there's a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And he says that salvation is to be with God forever. He actually writes about that down at the end of verse 9. You can look at that later. He says, you will obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So I plead with you, brothers and sisters, take great hope in this right now, that you are saved right now. You are already saved right now from the penalty of your sin. You are saved from God's wrath against your sin. But this is not as good as it gets. There is coming a final and a full and a complete salvation. It is perfect. It's complete, not lacking in any way. And through faith in Jesus Christ and all who have faith in him, there's a salvation coming that is going to be far beyond anything that we can ever imagine. The beauty is incredible. And what is there, what we looked at last week, remember, it's undefiled and unfading and imperishable. And it's kept by God's power that we're going to look at in a minute. It cannot be touched or harmed or taken away in any possible way. So when Peter says salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, that's what he's talking about. The salvation of our souls that will come when we are with God in heaven forever, face to face. So now, let's go back and look. If that's what he means in this salvation ready to be real in the last time, let's go back and look at the way. Like how do we get to that? What's the path that we go through? What's the road to get to that final salvation? Let's look back at our text, verse 3 and 4. I want you to see it again. I spend so much time in the text because I want you to get this. I want you to get God's word. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Siri's talking to me up here. She was saying amen, just saying she said amen to that just now, whatever that was. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Here we go. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed the last time. This next part I want us to look at is really the last word of verse 4 and the first phrase of verse 5. It says, you who by God's power are being guarded. I want us to think about that and meditate on what that might mean, that by God's power, you are being guarded. I want you to look back real quick and remember what Peter has already said about God up to this point. Like, what has he been saying? What has he been saying about God? What is he trying to build into these people? Remember, to give them hope for living through these difficult days. What has he been saying? I'm just going to run through and just point out what's there in the text. I'm not going to really add anything. I'm just going to say it or explain it. This is verses 1 through 4, that God elected or chose us for salvation. God gave us a home that is not of this world. God foreknew us for salvation. God sanctified us to that salvation. God called us into obedience to Jesus Christ as the result of that salvation. He sprinkled us with the blood of Jesus Christ to purchase that salvation. God had great mercy on us by giving us that salvation. God caused us to be born again to the salvation that he has given us. And God has given us a living hope in that salvation, not a dead hope. He raised Jesus from the dead to secure that hope and to give us the inheritance in heaven. And God has promised that inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And he has given us the promise of heaven, where the inheritance is to those who are saved. And that's just the first 4 verses. Like, that's as far as we've gotten the first 4. Now we get to verse 5. And I get to verse 5 and I'm thinking, okay, now Peter's going to get to my part, right? He's going to get to my contribution, what I've got to give to this salvation. And look at what he says. He says, you who by God's power are being guarded. Do you see that? We're not even there yet. It's still God. It's his power that's guarding my salvation. So Peter, he's not even getting to like your contribution. It's the power of God. Listen to this. It is by God's plan that salvation was conceived. It's by God's provision that Jesus Christ came and provided that salvation, that it was achieved. It is by the working of God's Holy Spirit that that salvation is received. It is because of God's great mercy that that salvation is even a possibility. It's a gift of God that we have hope in this life right now as a reality. And it's a gift of God that we have an inheritance awaiting us in heaven that we will experience one day fully. And it is by God's power that all of this is being guarded from corruption for all eternity. Do you see what Peter is building into his readers? Now, I want you to think for just a minute about God's power. He says it's by God's power that you are being guarded. Well, let's think about God's power for just a minute. I've got four things I want to say about God's power, that his power that's guarding our salvation. Number one, God's power created the universe. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, all their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. All of them. When you walk out tonight and look up, if there's not too much dust in the sky, look up and you're going to see what? You're going to see stars. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, all of those were made. Like by his word. Listen to the next one. God's power keeps the universe from falling apart. Hebrews 1:3 says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Hebrews 1:3. God's power raised Jesus from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:4. Think about this. The horrific death of Jesus. I've said this before, but it's so important to remember. Jesus didn't die by a lethal injection, right? He didn't die by some little passive, let's just kind of help him fall asleep death. The horrific death of Jesus, it was a absolutely unimaginable thing that we could see, that his flesh was being ripped off of his bones, that the nails went into his hands and in his feet, the crown of thorns that was put on his head. And then ultimately the finality of all of that, his heart that quit beating and his lungs that quit being filled with air. And that happened. And then he was dead for 3 days. And what was it? It was the power of God that raised him from the dead, according to 1 Corinthians 6:4. That is something. The death of Jesus is nothing that no human could achieve themselves. The resurrection, no human could achieve that. And 10,000 humans working together could not achieve enough power to raise Jesus from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:4 says it was God's power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the last thing I want to say about that is that God's power is unmatched by any force in all existence, right? God's power is unmatched by any force in all existence. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 40. It says, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like him? This is God kind of talking rhetorically, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might and because of his strong power, not one of them is missing. Have you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. That's God. Like that's who we serve and worship, and who's given us this salvation. And that's all his power. We don't contribute an ounce to his power. It's all his, and he's always had it. So that same God, thinking about this, that same God, his same matchless and limitless and unrivaled power has saved you. And if you are a Christian, it will keep you and it will guard your salvation and is guarding your inheritance in heaven. And it is all absolutely safe and secure. I said this kind of in passing last week, but just listen. The entire earth could be knocked out of the solar system tomorrow by an asteroid. I'm not going to say that's happened. Don't go say, hey, Russell's a conspiracy theorist. I'm not saying that. But it could happen that an asteroid knocks Earth out of the solar system, but God's power guarding your salvation in heaven won't even cause God to have to take a breather. Like he's so powerful, and your everything that you have in him is so secure by his power that not even an asteroid knocking Earth out of the solar system can put a scratch or a dent on your inheritance in heaven. And it can't cause God to even just stop and not say, oh man, I need to catch my breath to keep going. He does not have any rivals. He does not have any equals. And that same power is guarding your salvation. And what that should cause in us, what I hope that causes in us, is an incredible amount of hope and peace and joy and worship that will well up in us for who he is and what he has done for us. And it should cause those who are not believers, listen, it should cause those who are not believers to desire this salvation, that this great and marvelous and wonderful God would look into the lives of people who are sinners and save them by his grace. If you're not a believer, it should cause you to want that salvation. You may tell you, God freely gives it to all who believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter says, you who by God's power are being guarded, that salvation is coming in the last time, and it's being kept and guarded and safe and secure by God. But there's two more words there. You see those two more words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5? There's two words. Look right in the middle. Who by God's power being guarded through faith. Do you see that? Now, it's there. We can't ignore those words. And my commitment to you is that we're not going to skip any words. So what do we do with those words? Why are they there? Like, trust me, it would be a lot easier for me. And it would be a lot easier for you if Peter would have just said, you who by God's power are being guarded for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That would be a lot easier to say, and it would be a lot easier to preach if it was just, you are being guarded by God's power for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. But right in the middle are two really important words, being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So why are those words there? What do they mean? Whose faith is it? Is it God's faith or is it our faith? And where does that faith come from? So that's what we got to look at next, because my commitment is we're not going to skip around. I really, like, it would be so easy to keep just to finish here and not have to go through that, but it's there. So let's look at it and see what it means. So what does it mean that by God's power, you're being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time? Let's look at that. So first, faith. Faith comes from God and is a gift to those who are his people. Ephesians 2:8-9, I've already said this earlier, but just hear it again. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So salvation is a gift of God's grace, and it comes through faith, which is also a gift of God's grace. You having the capacity to believe is a gift of God's grace. And that faith that we have when we believe the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a gift. So you hear the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial and a sin-covering death, that he was raised from the dead to save sinners from the wrath of God, to give them hope for eternal life with God. And you realize, I need this salvation in my life. And you believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, that faith is a gift from God. Right then, he gives you the faith to believe. But then we get here to 1 Peter. Remember, we get here to 1 Peter, and Peter says, you are being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, is that kind of the same that Paul was talking about in Ephesians 2, or is it something that may be a little bit different? So I think that this is what Peter means. And tune in with me here, okay? Because this was hard to study, and it may be hard to understand, and I don't want you to be confused. So tune in to what I'm going to say and go back later and listen to it, because you're probably going to have a whole bunch of questions. But listen, I think this is what Peter means. That faith is not something that you had once and then let go of and then still hope for eternal life with God. I don't think that's what he means. That I don't think he means that faith is something that you had once and then let go of and then still have a hope for eternal life with God. Faith is not something that comes to you when you hear the gospel and then you forsake it for the rest of your life and then still hope to go to heaven when you die. Faith is not something that happens once and then is of no other value or importance for the rest of your life. Faith is a gift from God when you hear them and respond to the message of the gospel, and that faith continues on and on. It does not stop. It does not come to an end, and it does not become irrelevant at any point. I think that's what Peter means when he says you're being guarded by God's power through faith. Faith is an ever-present reality, not a past event. We continue in the faith that we begin in, or we have no faith at all. Now listen, because I know that sounds like opening up a can of worms, but I want you to see that I think this is the consistent thing we see throughout the Bible. I'm not saying, and I don't think Peter is saying, that you can somehow lose your faith or lose your salvation. Remember, it's being protected by God's power, not yours. Remember, God's power cannot be threatened and it cannot be thwarted by anyone or anything, not even you, right? You have no power over God. He is powerful over the entire universe. So what's going on here? I think that what Peter is saying is this, that an ongoing, continuing in the faith is the test of genuine faith. An ongoing, continuing faith is the test of genuine faith. Or to say it another way, persevering in the faith is a sign of true faith. Persevering in the faith is a sign of true faith. Now listen to me. I'm going to take this a step further and I'll hopefully show you from the life of Peter himself. This does not mean that a person cannot experience moments or even seasons of acting faithless, because I think that can happen. A person can, I think, be a genuine believer and experience moments or seasons of acting faithless. Let me show you from the life of Peter. Remember, the guy that wrote this, all the way back in Mark chapter 14, you can go and read this if you want to. Mark chapter 14, the time for Jesus' crucifixion was like about to happen. It was right there. And Jesus is looking at his disciples, who he loved, who he spent the last 3.5 years of his life with, pouring into them. And he looked at them. You remember what Jesus said? In Mark 14, he says, every one of you is going to fall away. Every one of you are going to turn your back on me. In the hours ahead. What did Peter say? Peter says, Lord, even though they will all fall away, I will not. And then Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And then Peter like emphatically says, Lord, if I must die to be with you, I will not deny you. And then all the other disciples jump in and say, yeah, we're right there with Peter. We're all there. We're not going to deny you. None of us will deny you. We'll all go to death with you. And what happened? It happened exactly the way Jesus said it would, right? They all fell away. And then Peter, maybe kind of following around in the shadows, maybe the last one that just, he had that power himself, said, I'm not going to deny you. What happens? They start questioning him. Hey, you were one of them. You were with them. We saw you with them. You even sound like one of them when you talk. And he's like, I never knew that man. And then again, we know you were with him. No, I never knew that man. 3 times Peter denied Jesus. And then the rooster crows and Peter remembers. Do you remember what Peter's response was when that happened? He wept. He broke down and he wept. And then a short time later, you can read about this in John 21 if you want to. A short time later, after Jesus was raised from the dead, what happened? Jesus brought Peter back into his place as an apostle. And then Peter went on to become the leader among the apostles, as we see in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 and later on. So Peter began in the faith, and then he had some really intense moments of faithlessness. Even before this one, he had some other moments in there of faithlessness when he was following Jesus. And then he ultimately turned his back on Jesus at the moment of his crucifixion. So does that mean, listen, does that mean that Peter was saved and then unsaved and then resaved and then unsaved again and then somehow resaved and unsaved again over and over? Is that what it means? No. It means Peter was human, right? It means he was human. Peter was saved, and then life's difficulties and pressures and sufferings threatened his faith and even caused him to verbally disassociate with Jesus. But Peter came back again and again, proving that his faith was genuine. He was never unsaved and then resaved. He was saved the entire time. There were just moments where he didn't act like it. So I think that's what Peter is getting at when we get to chapter 1, verse 5, when he says, "You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That if you begin in the faith, if you were saved by God's grace through faith, you will continue in the faith and you will, by God's power, even though that faith may be threatened and shaken by doubt and the pressures of this world and sufferings and persecutions, and maybe even shaken by the ongoing failures of other people who claim to be Christians, that anything else that may shake that faith, that if you are saved by grace through faith, you will continue in that faith until that faith becomes a reality. You are with Jesus in heaven face to face forever. There is no starting in the faith, then living in it for a little while, and then rejecting that faith for the rest of your life. That would mean, I think, that you had no faith at all in the first place and your faith was never genuine. You may have days or seasons of doubt and disobedience, but you will always, always, always come back to that faith. You will continue in it until the day that you meet Jesus face to face. I think that's what Peter means when he says, "You who by God's power are being guarded through faith." That is a continuing in the faith for the rest of your life. There may be seasons where you struggle, where you doubt, where you have fear, or where you just live like a disobedient, rebellious child, but you never lose your status as one of God's children. You are always there and you will always come back to him. So let's put all this together. And let's close with some thoughts for consideration. Remember Peter's goal or his aim when he was writing: living through today by hope for tomorrow, encouraging believers to live through difficulties. You will have difficulties in this life. Jesus himself promised it. All the apostles and the early church members that experienced difficulties and sufferings, and we have and we will. It's inevitable, right? It will come for us. Struggles in our family, with our friends, with health and money, all of those things are coming for us at some point or another, and you've probably experienced those already. But you can, as a believer in Jesus Christ, endure through those difficulties. How do we endure? We hope in God. Lift your eyes to God. Look at who he is and what he has done for you, the purpose and the plan of your salvation that he's accomplished for you, the power by which he keeps that salvation secure, the inheritance that is waiting for you in heaven that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, that's being kept securely in heaven by him and by his power that is unmatched, unrivaled, and infinite and eternal, and rest. Rest and have hope and joy and peace in these truths. And then as often as you can, worship him for all these things. Which is, that's what Peter said. It's what he's been saying in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I would plead with you, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved so that these realities become your realities, that these truths are applied to you. Repent of your sin, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had to be together. Lord, thank you for this group of people, once again, Lord, who are so faithful together and to hear and to sing and to read these truths and to study them. Lord, I know sometimes these things are really hard to hear and they're hard to teach, Lord, but we teach them and we believe them because they're your truth. They're not something that I made up. Lord, as Peter says later, that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from you, that they wrote these things down from you. And so, Father, I pray tonight that you would take these truths, that you would apply them to the hearts and the minds and the lives of those who have heard them, Lord, that those who are not saved, that you would save them, or that you would bring them from the kingdom of darkness and transfer them by your grace through faith into the kingdom of your beloved Son, that they would be saved. Lord, that those who are believers that are struggling and living through difficult days and know the difficult days are coming, Lord, that they would endure in the faith, that they would press on, Lord, that you would help them continue by your power in the faith, Lord, that you've given us to believe. And that, Lord, that we would bind together and support each other and pray for each other and lift each other up when we are going through these difficulties. And, Lord, that we would press one another on to know that we have a salvation that is coming for us in the last time, and it is imperishable and defiled and unfading, kept by your power. Lord, help us to remember these things and help these things to make us better disciples of Jesus and better ambassadors for you, the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name.